Like, everything's been really kind of clean up until this episode, and now it's just like, young ladies at a bar, my willy in a glass. Like, what have you done? The goose. The goose.
The goose. The goose. Welcome once again to The Goose. Here we are.
Ready? Let's do it. Hello.
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 Beautiful. Couldn't have asked for more. So, as you may have heard, guessed already from our voices, in The Goose Studio today, we need a name for The Goose Studio. Where do geese live?
Nest?
Backstage.
There's no particular kind there of might nest. Be.
Backstage.
Some ornithological.
Where do you keep geese?
Like the red velvet curtain room.
If you had a herd of geese.
I keep my geese in the red velvet curtain room at my house.
Oh, yeah, the red mist. What was it? The velvet fog.
Velvet fog. Meltor May's lap.
A velvet fog.
We had some.
Velvet mist.
The velvet mist.
Can we call it Meltor May's lap? And here we are at the Goose Studios. So now it's Meltor May's lap.
As you may have guessed from those voices today in the Goose Studios, the Red Velvet Mist, we have myself, Mark Canton.
Myself, Rory Brosnan.
And myself, Moira Brady-Averill.
And yourselves, you're very welcome once again to another episode of the Goose.
I should say, Moira is threatening me with a jelly dinosaur, but it's in a humorous, fun way, and I don't feel at all threatened. It's a nice... Now she's gone to the mouthing, scary threats.
This dinosaur, I think, is going to come alive in Maura's imagination.
I keep having
and
these,
kill us all.
Yeah, exactly.
It
these
is
dinosaurs,
a big jelly dinosaur.
It's huge. These dinosaurs are enormous. The T-Rexes, they don't mess around.
No.
But I always wish it was banana flavored. It's lemon. I don't want this.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can I lead off? Can I lead?
Fire away.
With a question?
Yes.
On Friday, I convinced Moira that the homeless man on Baggot Street was a former top comedy writer with BBC in the 90s. What is the most stupid, like, gullible thing that you've ever believed or led somebody to believe out of a sense of mischief or for whatever reason?
Ooh, that's
for whatever reason, just what's the most gullible thing you've believed or convinced somebody of?
I think Friday takes the cake for me in terms of what I've believed. And I truly, truly believe Rory when he told this very long, ornate story about how this man was on the top of his game until, like, the mid-90s when his coke addiction let him down into, like, you know, the place he is now, which is a Scotsman living on, I don't know, the pennies of professional, you know, suit-wearing people.
I think that's every Scotsman, though, isn't it?
Oh. We'll live on the pennies of professional suit-wearing people. My father, his father before him, was raised on the pennies of professional suit-wearing people.
That was really good.
I don't know if I've been suckered by...
anything.
Well, because... No, I'm
You're
sure
such
I've been...
a skeptic. You believe... You flip it on the other side and you don't believe things that you could...
Yeah, no. Maybe.
Is that true,
maybe
or was I just projecting?
No, I mean, I'm sure people have lied to me, but I think sometimes people shy away from that because of my glasses, they think I'm smarter than I am, and they're like, oh, let's not try and get Canton with this.
Plus, you always tell people you're smarter than...
Yeah, exactly. I'm smarter than I am.
I'm smarter. You're always, that's like something you always say. I'm like, Mark, I have a story for you. And he's like, well, let me tell you, Moira. Better not be one of those fake stories, because I'm smarter than I am.
There's a friend of mine who would tell me kind of pointless lies, which, you know, weren't huge gotchas. Like, for example, we were talking about the film Spinal Tap, and I said, oh, I've never seen the film Spinal Tap. What is it? And he said, he told me that Spinal Tap was a real heavy metal band, and that the film is a comedy, but it's because they realized that they weren't that good a band, and so they decided to make a film. I was like, oh, all right, okay. It's not like I'd watch the film and be like, oh, well, those guys are obviously actors, and then, yeah.
It sounds like he's confusing it with another film called Anvil.
No, this was way before Anvil came out.
I know, but it's just funny because you just he described something else that came later.
he was a prophet, I guess, of the film Anvil.
And maybe that's where his comedy comes in. You know, he has like a prophetic quality to his lies.
Yeah.
Because he's like, anything he says, it'll happen eventually.
A lie that I helped to spin was the enormous and hilarious duck scam.
Oh, I've heard this. It's quite good. Quite
what is
mischievous.
It?
So, what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, a friend of ours, friend of myself and Annie's boyf Connor and several other people, Duck, this guy Duck, was travelling around the world. While I'm telling this story, there's all kinds of mechanics of people eating and passing peanuts between each other
trying to be as quiet as possible.
And not listening to Mark, thinking like we're not listening to him.
We're like both chewing like...
yeah, you tell that story.
We've heard this story before, but our listeners haven't.
Oh, you've heard it before?
Yeah, I've heard it. Well, can I tell you how it goes?
Yeah.
Duck's traveling the world, and then Mark and his friends all get together, and they decide to like convince Duck that they're all fighting with each other, that they've all fallen out with each other. So when he gets back from like his amazing travels, his world traveling experiences, eye opening experiences, he comes back and the world he once knew has fallen apart because people are all ticked off with one another for just doing stupid things. And this is a pretty ornate.
Yeah, there was lots of emails.
I think it's
and lots of lies.
I think conspiracy is the word, people.
Yeah, it was a web of lies. And for example,
did it ever occur to you, Mark, that maybe you spoiled a little bit of his trip? But worry, he was worrying. Maybe he was out in Laos, you know, in some great place in Laos, but he just couldn't enjoy it because of your Machiavellian
your spin doctoring.
I think it enhanced his trip because he was saying that he was telling everyone that he was meeting. He was like, you won't believe what's going on with my friends back home. Oh my god, this is incredible, blah 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 blah. And when he came back after it was all revealed, his main comment was, you should have done more lads. I totally believed all of it. You could have got away with a lot more. Some of the things we said were our friend Davey, who was studying in the States, had become the team mascot for his college's American football team, and he was really, really proud of it and really competitive about it. Another friend of ours, Matt, had got a cock ring and it had gone septic, and he was really worried about it.
Oh.
Whether his penis was going to fall off or
what happened? Did he leave it on for a few days?
I don't know. I mean, it was all fictional.
I always sterilize my cock rings before I ever.
Yeah,
before I ever put
you've
them
got on. To sterilize the cock rings.
Annie and Kelly, come back.
A couple of people were suing each other, and then just before he arrived back home, I just sent him an email. I had never referenced any of these things before, but I was just like, Doug, sorry, I'm going to miss you when you come back. I'm going to be in Portugal because the whole, you know, Queen thing has been moved up. So it's pretty cool. I'm going to get to work with Brian May and Roger Taylor, though. So I'll see you anyway. Bye. And that was it. Just left it at that, having never mentioned Queen, the band Queen, or Portugal before. So then Duck arrived back into town, and he met Shane for a drink, and everybody else met in another location, and then we all kind of came in to the market bar together, and Duck was
surprise!
There. Surprise! And Duck was like, well, he didn't figure it out at first. He was like,
yeah!
Moira really likes this part of the story, that's why she goes, yeah! Yeah!
I sneezed. People, I sneezed.
Duck, we came in one by one, and Duck was like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, hey. And then
and
we were all standing.
Different tables ignoring each other. Like.
Yeah. Now, we all stood around in a circle, and Duck was like, hey, how's it all going? And Shane said to Duck, it's all lies. He was like, yeah. No, Duck, it's all lies. He was like, yeah. And then he turned to me and was like, wait a second, I thought you were supposed to be in Portugal. Oh my god, no, it's all lies! And the penny slowly dropped. And
The panties slowly
dropped. And we were like, welcome home.
That's a good story.
So that's a pretty good lie.
Yeah, that's a good
the most
lie.
Elaborate lie I've been involved in.
I'm trying, you know, it's one of those questions I would, like, relish the opportunity to think about, because I can't think of anything in terms of answering it as, like, I've tricked someone. I know I've been tricked, like, a lot. I wouldn't live in Ireland if that weren't the case.
Yeah, if you hadn't been sold into marriage by that carpet trader.
Yeah, that's right. But
and his magic beans.
That's right. Ooh, come to my. What is it called? Those things? Oh, covered wagon. Yes, that's what happened.
That's exactly what it's called.
Come to my covered wagon.
Yeah, that's what they say in the fairy tales. Come to my covered wagon.
Yeah.
Not come to my wagon.
Not to my wagon, my covered wagon.
Come to my covered wagon. Because my fairy tales include the Oregon Trail, and that is it. That's it. Beginning, middle, and end.
I feel like maybe many of our Irish listeners
won't understand that.
Get the Oregon Trail reference. Because I didn't when I first moved to America. But it's about cannibalism.
Ooh.
Well, I
isn't
mean,
it?
It's, no, it's not about cannibalism.
The Oregon Trail?
No, like, it's just about travel. Like, it's a really kind of rudimentary computer game about Yeah, you're thinking of Donner Pass.
Donner Pass. Is that not on the way to the
That's not a computer game for kids. Well, it probably is a computer game
but
now.
But were they not on
kids.
Their way to the Oregon Trail, the Donner
well,
Pass?
Well, there was this... The Oregon Trail is this thing where it's like, you're a pioneer, you got a covered wagon, oh, your axle breaks, and you have to trade this to get that, like cows and stuff like this. But Donner Pass is a place
right.
named after the Donner Party that is actually in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and it was these people going from I think Nevada to California, and they got stuck in a winter that they were snowed in. They didn't make it over in time, and so then they many of the party's members had to resort to cannibalism because a lot of the people died. They died of starvation or they froze to death.
And the great thing about that is that the I don't know, was it like the great, great, great grandson or whatever down the line is Richard Donner of Superman movies fame.
Really?
Oh, really?
No.
I thought.
This is what I'm saying. You're a fucking sicko.
No, but that is where the Donner kebab was invented, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Things are getting a little racy, and by racy, I mean racist.
When I was 18 or 19. Maybe or 20. I was a bartender. Actually, I was a bartender at 15 in Cardline, County Cork. Shout out. But I got a job in Rosie's, the kind of the trendy pub in my town. And you know, there's always stories of, you know, when you're young and you start a new job and somebody tries to trick you into doing something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's not at all productive. That's just a waste of your time.
Yeah.
That the other staff know and they laugh.
I'm a good one. Yeah.
Well, there was various ones, but like friends of mine were worked at petrol stations, and you know they'd be told to go to the nearest like competing petrol station and ask for the long stand, for example, and they would just be allowed to stand outside. But anyway, I started working in this pub. You shook your head, Moira.
Long stand.
The long stand. So they would be sent to a nearby business.
Yeah.
To ask for the loan of the long stand, as if it was a ladder or something.
And then they'd just be left to stand outside. Like waiting. They'd be like, yeah, I'll come back and get it for you.
And they'd just be there for an hour.
Okay.
So that ilk, that genre of practical joke.
So what happened at Rosie's?
Well, it's not even that interesting, but I was told that I had to punch the metal tops, you know, of bottles.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a metal puncher, and I was told, and I prided myself on kind of being like, maybe cleverer than most people, you know? A bit smug, way,
yeah.
But anyway, so I was told I had to, like, punch these metal bottle tops, and there was, like, a metal puncher. And I was just doing it for, I don't know, half an hour to 40 minutes when I noticed other bar staff laughing. I was like, oh, fuck.
They got
me.
Oh, that's...
How did you get your revenge?
I burned the place down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did. Trendy my ass.
Made them swallow bottle tops and then...
Oh, God.
Before I burned it down.
Immediately I have this image of, like, there's nothing scarier than, like, Steve Buscemi doing violent things. But now I think the thought of Rory doing something violent might be worse than that.
That's quite, in its own way, an accolade. I mean, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, I think it is.
Steve Buscemi doing violent things is a grotesque image.
It's terrifying.
And for me to out... violence dad. It's like, oh, you know what? All right, I'll go with it as a compliment.
I think
you'd be a pretty terrifying
psychopathic
with that laugh.
You're like, oh no, don't say that. I'm just a silly little thing over here.
I couldn't hurt a fly.
I do love to kill cats, but I was going to say that I had a boss named Guy. And I've had actually two bosses named Guy in my restaurant experience. One English and French, and the other Thai.
Was he Guy?
He was Guy.
Oh.
But anyway, he...
It was the English then, not the French.
Yeah, well, he was English and French. Like, he had a French mom.
But he was American, right?
But he was American, but he was also... He lived in England for a while. English and French. I gotta send this podcast to him. He's gonna love this convoluted explanation. He was a fucker. And he still is. And Guy, if you're out there, you fat fuck. You fat motherfucker. I'm coming in December, and I'm going to eat at your restaurant. And I'm going to laugh and laugh.
That'll teach him.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Hey, Guy, there's a woman out there enjoying her meal and laughing.
And I'm like mouthing the words.
Oh, no, it's Moira Brady.
Yeah, mouthing the words, you fat fuck. Just like, and then just laughing. But anyway, no, I love Guy. But he got me to do this thing, which was, he's like, chef, and the counter staff person was working with an eye side of the chef. So we didn't have anything to do, where he was always prepping, he'd be like, here, and give you like a fucking bucket of thyme and be like, it's that thyme again. And you're just like, no! And he'd make us pick thyme. Yeah. And like the day before I left for Ireland to move here, he was like, Moira, you didn't really have to pick thyme. We just chop it up. But I just gave you, like, this horrible task just to be like, here's something to do. Move your hands. Look busy, you know? Isn't that sick?
What a sick fuck.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Guy, if you're listening to me, right, I'm going to come to AST20. I'm going to eat at that restaurant. In December.
Sweet revenge.
Yeah.
Could I get the thyme salad, please? And could you make sure it's picked, not chopped?
Yes, I can't. I need my thyme picked, please.
Well, Annie's not here, but she sent in a question this week. What if you could only eat one kind of meat for the rest of your life? What kind of meat would you eat?
Initially, I was going to say lamb, because lamb is my favorite, roast lamb. Mm. But
you get sick of it.
Well, you'd get sick of it, and also there's no qualification within this question. Oh, there's no health considerations. You also have to consider what it would do to your body.
Right.
So, like, chicken is healthier, isn't it, right, than lamb?
But it's not great to eat chicken every day.
But you have to eat one meat. Oh, yeah, it doesn't say how often. Like, the question, like, there's a lot of things up for grabs in this question.
Mm-hmm. It should be like, Annie, your question should be, if you're strapped to a chair being force-fed meat every day of your life, Rory in our cookbook, as we mentioned last week.
I missed that.
That's going to happen. There's a cookbook. What happens in it? I've forgotten. He's dressed like a bird.
He's dressed like a bird. He's being force-fed. And it's just like that image every day. Maybe like of different substances. Different chutneys.
Wow. See what you get up to in my absence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but anyway, I guess I would say, I'd like to say fish, but I know it's not good for me to eat fish with...
Is fish a meat?
It's kind of a fish, not a meat.
It's not a meat?
No.
Yeah. I was assuming we could have whatever fish we liked any time of day.
Anytime. And the meat.
And the one kind of meat. Those are the rules in my game. I've been thinking
about being a vegetarian, actually. I'm kind of sick of the idea of consuming meat.
Yeah.
If animals are allowed to eat other animals, why aren't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but lions aren't buying fucking antelope in the grocery store.
No, they're just murdering them themselves.
Well, why don't you go out and murder an animal yourself, and then I'll say it's fine.
I tried it, I got arrested.
Animals do a lot of things that we don't necessarily say, well, we can do them then.
I know, but...
A lion will kill another lion, but we don't...
Yeah, no, I'm not advocating that we just copy what they do en masse.
Well, and you're a pebble.
But what I'm saying is, like, people who have ethical considerations about eating meat, oh, you shouldn't kill an animal. Well, my rejoinder to that.
No, but I mean, like, you shouldn't eat. You shouldn't eat an animal that's been killed against the laws of nature. If that makes sense. The mechanization of the murder of animals is something I may struggle with.
Why should we be penalized because we're more efficient?
When I look at that chicken cutlet, I'm thinking, ooh,
yummy.
They poop and pee and have sex out of the same hole.
You're not eating that hole, are you? As long as you don't just eat those holes.
I smoke the hole. I smoke the hole like a cigarette.
And Kelly Nanny, please come back.
It's getting racy. By racy, we mean animalist. I would have to... I think I'd have to go for chicken, because I think chicken is the most adaptable of the meats.
Yeah.
Culinarily
you
speaking.
You can do... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, lamb is my favorite meat just to eat, but chicken would be the most sensible choice.
It is. Yeah. And who likes those things anyway? No, chickens. They're not
chickens.
Like...
Oh, yeah. I don't really have... I mean, I eat meat, so I don't have the qualms about killing particular kinds of animal.
You know what I think we should all do right now?
Kill an animal.
Just get real close to the microphone.
And what do we do now?
And then we just like threaten each other like just we're whispering, but we don't want people whispering. To hear.
You fucking going to kill me. You're a fucking chicken.
Where did that come from, Moira?
I can't wait to hear that next time we listen to ourselves.
So, Moira, did you have a question? Or has been
I emailed a question to you guys. Remember, my question was, if Shane McGowan's laugh were written out, what would it look like? I wanted you just to
discuss that for 50 minutes.
So maybe
let me do
a little preamble to the laugh. I will pretend to ask Shane McGowan a question. He will answer.
Well, okay. Shane McGowan is going to join us.
Wait, yes. I think he's junior imminently.
Imminently, and he'll show up like at 3 Mondays from now. Okay, so Shane, your friend Philip Chevron just passed away, and I wanted to ask you how you feel about that.
That's the setup question. Okay, sorry, Shane, please go ahead.
Yo, I think it's really sad.
Do you have a favorite memory of Phil? Maybe you could tell us.
Phil came into the studio one day and said, I wrote a song called Thousand Sailing.
K-K-H-H-L-L-L-L-Y. And that's the best approximation.
Regular people. H-A-H-A-H-A. Shane McGowan.
K-K-K-H-H-H-L-L-L-Y. I think that was what I said.
Yeah. Good. I think that's solved. Anything happened to anybody during the week?
Yes. Oh, I'm doing it. Mark's doing a reading on Wednesday this week. I just need to just send out a little hello.
Yeah, if you're around on Wednesday, if you're around Dublin town, from somewhere between 5 and 7, there'll be readings in the Temple Bar Gallery, in the Hare, which is the cafeteria, which is open there.
Cafeteria.
Yeah.
What an appealing word. No, it's called the Hare. It's the workers' cafe, serving beautiful vegetarian food, coffee and tea, all locally sourced. And we will be having a reading there, yes, from 5 to 7, featuring Mark Canton on the pieces of paper he looks at and says the words from.
That's the instrument I'll be playing. Yes, good.
Okay, sorry. That's.
I was out on Saturday night. I saw The Critic, which I did some animations at the very end. They were projected as part of it. And I actually watched the whole show. And then just when the animations were coming up, I knew it was going to happen and work. I mean, they were already recorded, but I did get a little bit nervous or excited about it. Oh, here it is. Here's my one bit at the end of an hour and 40 minutes or whatever it is. And then went to the garage, inhaled a whole lot of smoke outside the garage bar.
Yes, yes.
Felt awful about that. And then we went to the festival club, which was in Odessa. And so I ended up dancing the night away in Odessa.
Good.
So, like,
I'm having trouble picturing you dancing in a nightclub, Mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you should, because it is a complicated
It's an emotionally scenario. Complicated
yeah.
scenario.
Yeah, that's a friend of mine. When she'd known me for like 6 months. She said to me, "I bet you don't dance, do you, Mark? You never dance." And I was like, "You are so wrong, Alma. Wait till you see this." And danced away. Yeah, I was dancing away. I was demanded on the dance floor. But what was slightly amusing was a line from a friend of mine. So there's in the critic, there's a lot of student actors, and I kind of been doing the video stuff. I hadn't really got to know many of them, but kind of said hi to some of them occasionally. And there's a lot of young women. They're all students. There's a lot of young women in this show, and you know, some of them were keen. Yeah, basically, some of them were keen to get to know me. Now, listen, I mean, these are very. I am for anyone who doesn't
single,
know me.
Single, he's single. He's definitely a single man.
I'm single, but I'm also 35, and these women are like 21 or something. So, I mean, it'd be entirely inappropriate unless they're up for it. If they are, you know, then that's fine. But
what does that mean? What does that statement? Annie and Kelly, please come back so you can clarify what Mark just said.
Why can't I just say what he just said?
If they're up for it, what the fuck do you mean?
That was a joke.
If they're up for it, if they're amenable to
like,
sexual congress.
I don't want to come across as a pervy. If they're amenable,
I just did.
Amenable to sexual congress.
I love you too. Like, you should have a show where you're just like hanging out at bars, asking women if they're amenable.
I don't know what that means.
Let me show you. That was creepy.
That was awful.
Then you carry out sexual congress on a near
a glass.
A glass or something. This is what I mean.
Your pint glass.
Or, you know, whatever.
A melon, whatever.
That I would be carrying with me. Just
yeah. Let me show you.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. The point is that I wasn't
humping a melon on the dance floor.
I wasn't humping a melon on the dance floor. But anyway,
to show people what you mean.
To show people what I mean. Just to show the ladies I know what's going on. Let me hump this melon just to show you I've got some real technique here. At the end of the night, at like 2:30 or something, the place was closing, and one of these young women was chatting to me, and she was like, "Oh, are you coming on to the Workman's?" And I was like, "Nah, I think I'm gonna go home. Actually, I think I'm gonna go home." She said, "Oh, okay. Well, listen, I'll see you." And she went off to the Workman's Club, and Will Irvine turned to me, and he said, "She really wanted you to cast her in a show." And I was like, "Yeah, that's the answer, actually. That's the truth of that situation. That I'm so old that she wouldn't even think that it would be, you know..."
That's not true.
For me to misconstrue.
A lot of women in their early 20s like the older guy.
No.
No, I just... There's a lot.
I've been a woman in my early 20s.
You're only
wants.
One. You're not a scientific survey sample size.
Yeah.
Four S's there in that sentence.
You're a scientific survey sample size. So I was recording a sample size. So I was even holding the table size. So, I was going to say that, no, when you're 22, 35 is like, it could be 58. You're just like, that's an adult.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
I mean, there is a subset of women who are just into older guys. That's just a fact.
Yeah, they're called freaks.
Yeah, they're called freaks. I like freaky girls.
Mark's like, so, you...
Hey, you freaky?
You one of these freaks? No, I'm kidding. Yep. I don't know anything about older women. I mean, wait, no. Older men and younger women. My mom was 9 years older than my dad. That's a weird one.
Groovy.
Wrap your fucking heads around that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
we will.
I'm not going to comment. Dangerous territory.
What are you
going to
say? No, go ahead. Make
no,
a joke.
I'm just, no, I'm not going to make none comes to mind.
They're dead. I mean, make a joke.
Okay, but you're not.
And we could be.
Yeah,
that's the wrong thing.
It's just as a minefield.
You're between us and the door.
See how, like, listeners, you know, you're hearing me, like, laugh, and I sound like, oh, I'm enjoying what they're saying. But really, like, Mark and Rory are, like, begging for their lives right now.
We're
silently
sending coded messages to Gareth, yeah, the studio engineer. Also Moira's husband, but I feel like he'd be sympathetic towards us.
Towards you, yes, absolutely. Without a doubt. Ernie Skill!
I was at work this past week
on
the Mario Rosenstock show.
Ooh,
sketch comedy show.
Clang.
And amongst other things, at one point I had to lie down in the back of a, I think like a 1982 Ford Granada.
Is this for filming or is Mario got special requests?
I had to lie down in the back of
Here's a little green M&M.
of a 1982 Ford Granada, walkie-talkie in hand, as Mario was in the front passenger seat, and Steve Gunn, who I believe has been a guest of the show, played a Garda, and he was driving, and Mario was playing a prominent Irish politician and father of somebody we know.
Ah, yes, of course.
Yeah, I don't know if I should mention names.
My dad's not a politician.
My dad's dead.
And his dad isn't an Irish politician. Anyway. But anyway, so I had to give them the action. To be
Alan Shatter.
Harlan, go!
And then Steve Steve had to drive in an erratic manner, and then he'd slam on the brakes, and I'd be, like, slammed into the back seat. But it was quite good fun, and then between takes, Mario and Steve would be talking about 60s music bands, and Mario
the
would,
music bands, yeah.
Yeah, and then, well, some of them, amongst, and then Mario would impersonate people from the Delphonics having arguments. It was quite a laugh.
Oh.
Sounds good. I can't wait to see that.
That's in between. That's off camera. That's in between takes.
Oh, I just meant Steve driving erratically.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can see that any day.
Yeah, he's a taxi driver.
He's a taxi cab driver. Why am I talking like this? Ugh. Hey, so you know what I was thinking we could do?
What?
Did you want to say anything else, Rory, about...
No, I thought that was a reasonably good entertaining story, but it has gotten no comment whatsoever, so I think maybe
I said I would like to see Steve drive.
Oh, that's right, okay. I'm not being defensive.
Rory came over to our house the other day for dinner and called Mark, and I was like, hey, Mark, Rory's over here. You want to come over and watch Borat with us? Mark just laughed and he hung up the phone.
in a maniacal way.
Yeah, he did. And then what else happened this week? Lots of stuff. This just working a great deal, which is good. It just sort of clouds the memory. And then on Saturday, I went to a funeral for Philip Chevron, who is a great musical hero. And that was a really moving and wonderful service. So, yeah, I can't say that.
Unfortunately, Moira
has also passed away. Her service will be on this coming Saturday. In lieu of donations and the flowers. Oh, no, in lieu of flowers, please send a donation to goosecomedy.com.
So, we're going to have... we've actually got some guests on the show today.
Yeah.
We just thought we'd chat amongst ourselves first because we were waiting for them to arrive. But a very special guest...
Oh, God, I didn't realize he'd get here so quickly. He must have been hiding behind that curtain of ours.
The Velvet Mist.
The Velvet Mist. No, the Velvet Fart. Hello, Court Facto. It's so amazing that you flew over here from Providence, Rhode Island.
Court. How is the real estate in Rhode Island?
Well, the real estate in Rhode Island is going... like hotcakes. Okay, folks, if you want to get some real estate, come on down to Long Island. It's a Long Island.
Long Island or Rhode Island?
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
You should come to Long Island to get some real estate on Rhode Island.
Okay.
That's the place to get really good Rhode Island real estate. Is go right to the end of Long Island, and you can get a good view of Rhode Island from there. And so you can best judge, like, you know, if you look at a piece of land up close, it's hard to see it, because you're in the middle of it, okay? You're like, what's the bit over there?
Court. Why did you never pursue that music career? You just kind of stopped maybe like 6 months before it might have hit for you, Court.
I know. I mean, I was just thinking that maybe you and your dog could have maybe been a bit of had a good act going. You had a good bit.
Well, me and the dog had some musical differences.
I mean... He didn't
basically.
Like, he didn't like being played by you? Is that the problem?
He didn't like being played by me. And brother, I was playing that hoe, okay? Because I had him going this way and that way. He didn't know where he was going. I'd be like, hey, get your ball, dog. And I wouldn't throw the ball. And the dog would run off, and I'd be like, that's it, I'm going to sign the contracts without you. You've got only like 5% of our deal, dog. Because you went chasing after a ball that wasn't even there.
But yet you stopped.
But yet we stopped because the dog got wise. I mean, I don't say the dog's name anymore just because of legal ramifications. But the dog...
Jackie.
The dog, whatever the name's name,
Jackie
dog's
the dog.
Name was, maybe Jackie may not have been, the dog got wise to things. After a while, it was like, hey, brother, you ain't throwing no balls, okay? I've been searching all over, and every time I come back, you've already got the ball. I don't even see how that's possible. No, thank you. I'm fine for chocolate peanuts. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry. That's just a noise my head makes sometimes. I just got some a new chip implanted in my head, which helps me to sell real estate. So anyway, as I was saying, you know, from Long Island, you can really see Rhode Island well, because you can see it at a distance, and you
okay,
get the whole
well, back
thing
up a second,
into your
back
one.
Up a second. Where are you living right now? I heard something about you maybe being homeless.
Well, I mean, some people would call it homeless. I would call it home free, okay?
Is there a certain irony, Court, in a real estate agent being
home free?
Well, that's because I can enjoy whatever home I want.
That's not true, Court. Yes, it is true.
I'm selling these homes, so it's only fair that I should get to sample them before I sell them, so I can know what I'm selling to the customers.
Right, now, just usually, like somebody who works at, like, I don't know, you know, Godiva Chocolates.
Exactly. Those huge people that work at Godiva Chocolates. They just eat...
Quite an incendiary comment there, Court.
Well, I'm just saying...
As a huge person, I'd like you to leave.
If...
Yeah.
I'd like you to go.
Go.
Out.
Get out, Court.
I just...
Get out. No,
Court,
God,
you get the heck... I'm going the way of Jackie the dog.
We're not paying
you
your expenses either, like we said we would.
Yeah, you're on your own.
Okay, I'm just going to break into some NAMA properties. If anybody wants to come down, I'll be partying in a NAMA property. I'll see you. Bye.
Mark, you missed the biggest fucking Egypt ever.
Oh, fucking hell. That guy was... I couldn't...
Facto.
Like, I was sitting there, and I just was speechless for the whole thing.
You heard
I
it?
Couldn't... Oh, yeah. I've been sitting here the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I just could not believe it.
I was in a...
I was sitting behind you, behind the red curtain.
Yeah,
the velvet,
and Rory's eyes were also
velvet.
Rolled back the entire time curtain. We interviewed Court Facto, so...
Mm. Yeah, but what a weirdo, eh?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
What a weirdo.
Odd.
Yeah. But still, I think I might go down to that party in the NAM building.
Oh, yeah.
It does sound like fun.
Yeah.
Well, we have one more guest, of course, this evening. Hold on, I think I hear his one hopping
whoa,
foot coming
whoa,
in now.
Come on in.
All right, lads. What's going on?
Welcome, Peter Strickland.
That's right, Peter Strickland.
The one-legged film director.
That's right. Well, I used to be a film director. Ain't happening for me no more, is it?
Well, because of the one leg?
Well, now, well, that's what, now. Well, no, no.
Well?
Yeah, well, no, because of the one leg.
I thought it was because of your broken willy.
Indirectly. Jane, well, let me just say, Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, yeah.
No, she didn't break my willy, but when it got broken...
She busted his balls.
No, she got really upset.
Really?
I don't want to say anything more, because I could be sued.
But that's...
By Dame Judi
Dench. She wouldn't let you direct her anymore.
Direct in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Direct her. Yeah.
Well, I believe...
So, and you know how powerful she is within the British... And American film industries.
In bed, of course, Dame Judi Dench is known for doing the directing herself.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with
she's
that.
Very commanding.
Hey, listen.
But if you've got a broken
Strickland
willy,
doesn't kiss and tell. Strickland does not kiss and tell.
No, I don't.
And everybody in the business knows that, Mark.
Thank you. And I didn't come here to talk about my love affair with Dame Judi Dench.
No, of course not.
I came to talk about my exhibit.
Yeah, your exhibit about your love affair with Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, that's what I came here to talk about.
Yeah, of course.
I'll be
fucking chewing gum.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So, what kind of art is this now?
Abstract expressionism.
So it's paintings.
Yeah, paintings.
That you paint with your stub, is that right?
Amongst other things, I mean.
I mean, you do still have two hands.
I do.
But wait, sorry. When you say your stub, the stub of the leg or the stub of the penis?
Cock.
The penis stub.
No,
yeah.
No, not my cock.
He prefers Willy.
Oh, you not my cock. What bit of not my cock do you not understand?
Oh,
I don't paint pictures with my cock. How would I do that?
Well, I don't know
how
you
would
paint.
I put pressure on some sort of an implement and apply paint or whatever, pencil, to a fucking canvas.
Our friend Rory has sex with a glass with women that he's trying to get.
He sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly when
the
you're...
the utmost respect for people who don't give a flying fuck for convention.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does not give a flying fuck, and because several people have asked Rory for a flying fuck, could you demonstrate what a flying fuck is on that melon over there? And he's like, no, I won't do it. I will not do it.
Good.
So, how many pieces are
five.
In this?
Five pieces. Representing my early, middle, and late periods of lovemaking with Dame Judi Dench. Now, you'll know... If basic mathematics, that five pieces, three periods, obviously one or two periods have more people, but it's the last period.
Yeah, I was going to say that one where it's just like a picture of eyes. Like, painting of eyes. I lack
class. Well, you interpret it. You tell me, because it's fucking obvious, ain't it, Moira?
That's fine. No, what is it? What's obvious about it? I don't get...
You tell me.
You make love to Judi Dench... There's a picture of eyes.
And they're not human eyes.
No, they're not.
No.
Lizard eyes.
Lizard eyes, yeah.
Yeah. She's got a pet lizard, doesn't she, in her bedroom.
So that's what you would stare at while making love?
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm not a pervert.
But you were watched by the lizard while you made love. Okay.
Right.
With your broken willy, we are here
believe me, it's my leg that's broken. My willy too, but it worked fine.
Oh, the willy works fine even though it's broken.
Yeah.
Snapped like a pencil.
Well, anyway, I didn't come here to talk about my cock, neither.
No,
all right,
of course
okay,
not.
Back to this other painting that I can't wrap my brain around, and maybe you can tell me if this is from the lost years. All right, the painting you entitled "Coarse Hands, Little Whisper."
Yeah,
and it's just
quite like that act one actually quite a bit because it's bold and transgressive, right? Yeah, with those bold lines. Yeah, there's a poignancy to it, you know, because I did have feelings for her too, you know. It wasn't just, you know, the old heave-ho, as Alex from Clockwork Orange may have said.
The old in and out.
The old in and out, that's the one.
The old heave-ho.
I did have feelings for her, you see.
And that's why you covered a piece of rope with your waist.
That's right.
Covered a piece of rope with his waist.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's on the canvas.
Not his waist around his belly. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah.
No.
My fecal matter.
His excrement, I see. You didn't just hide a piece of rope underneath his stomach.
No.
Because it is.
It's quite, at this point, it's rather...
It's large.
Yeah, so
I mean, you can't really exercise, but why bother? You've lived a life of... You know, a man who's lived a great life. And
good, dramatic life, anyway.
You've lived the life of a man who's lived a great life.
Yeah.
It's a long way of saying you've lived a great life.
Thank you, Moira. I know we go off on the wrong foot, but thank you for...
Sorry about that,
no,
yeah.
I'll apologise too.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
The wrong penis also. Well, thank you very much for
thanks
joining
for coming,
us.
And
thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing your show once more, the opening of which is on Thursday.
That's
yeah,
right.
In the hair.
Just after
cafeteria
that reading.
In Temple Bar.
It's a cafeteria. It's an odd cafeteria in Temple Bar.
Cheers, lads. I gotta go.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, hey, guys.
What's going on? Hey, Rory.
Did I miss him? Yeah,
you're
he was
a hero.
Our best guest, actually.
You're
I think.
A hero, Peter Strickland.
I am.
No, he's your hero.
Oh, my hero. Yes. I was like, what? I'm your hero, Peter Strickland. No.
You know,
yeah, he didn't day. Like...
Is it, it's true, right? He did do Dame Judi Dench, didn't he?
Oh, he mm-hmm. did. Oh, he
and
did.
And by do, I mean... She was amenable to sexual congress.
Yes.
That's right. And on that note, everyone just close your eyes and think about Judi Dench being amenable to sexual congress and what that looks like.
Fade out.
Judi Dench, we're going to get you.
Judi Dench's breasts.
I want to get you, Dame Judi Dench.
Judy, dad's in your neck. Neck and Judy, neck and Judy, naked neck and Judy.
Tits.
Great.
I get the judgment.
The goose. The goose. The goose. The goose.